The giving, first and foremost, as giving always has been in the scriptures, giving was intended to be a way for God's people to say thank you.
Wrapped up in this ordination of Aaron and the Levitical priesthood are a number of lessons that you and I can learn from. Hi there. Welcome to Abounding Grace. Pastor Chris Gordon returns us to the book of Exodus. Chapter 29 is where we find ourselves, verses 22 through 46, a message called The Dwelling of God. We're taking a look at the ordination of Aaron and its significance. Join us. Here's Pastor Chris Gordon with today's broadcast of Abounding Grace.
You shall also take the fat from the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the long lobe of the liver and the two kidneys with the fat that is on them and the right thigh, for it is the ram of ordination, and one loaf of bread and one cake of bread made with oil and one wafer out of the basket of unleavened bread that is before the Lord. You shall put all these in the palms of Aaron and on the palms of his sons and wave them for the wave offering before the Lord. Then you shall take them from their hands and burn them on the altar on top of the burnt offering as a pleasing aroma before the Lord. It's a food offering to the Lord. You shall take the breast of the ram of Aaron's ordination and wave it for a wave offering before the Lord, and it shall be your portion. And you shall consecrate the breast of the wave offering that is waved and the thigh of the priest's portion that is contributed from the ram of ordination from what was Aaron's and his sons. It shall be for Aaron and his sons as a perpetual due from the people of Israel, for it is a contribution. It shall be a contribution from the people of Israel from their peace offerings, their contribution to the Lord. The holy garments of Aaron shall be for his sons after him. They shall be anointed with them and ordained in them. The son who succeeds him as priest, who comes into the tent of meeting to minister in the holy place, shall wear them 7 days. You shall take the ram of ordination and boil its flesh in a holy place. And Aaron and his son shall eat the flesh of the ram and the bread that is in the basket in the entrance of the tent of meeting. They shall eat those things with which atonement was made at their ordination and consecration. But an outsider shall not eat of them because they are holy. And if any of the flesh for the ordination of the bread remain until the morning, then you shall burn the remainder with fire. It shall not be eaten because it's holy. Thus you shall do to Aaron and his sons according to all that I've commanded you. Through 7 days you shall ordain them, and every day you shall offer a bull as a sin offering for atonement. Also you shall purify the altar when you make the atonement for it and shall anoint it to consecrate it. 7 days you shall make atonement for the altar and consecrated, and the altar shall be most holy. Whoever touches the altar shall become holy. Now this is what you shall offer on the altar: 2 lambs a year old, day by day, regularly. 1 lamb you shall offer in the morning, and the other lamb you shall offer at twilight. And with the first lamb, a tenth seah of fine flour mingled with the fourth of a hin of beaten oil and a fourth of a hin of wine for a drink offering. The other lamb you shall offer at twilight, and shall offer it with grain offering and its drink offering, and in the morning for a pleasing aroma, a food offering to the Lord. It shall be a regular burnt offering throughout your generations at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord, where I will meet with you to speak with you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and it shall be sanctified by my glory. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel and will be their God. They shall know that I am the Lord their God, who brought them out of the land of Egypt that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. May the Lord bless the hearing of his word tonight. I was at the gas station the other day, and I was pumping gas, and I was listening to some guy pull up playing and blaring a country western song, and he had his cowboy hat on, and he was really going at it, and I looked up the song that he was singing, and here's the words: Lord, when I die, I want to live on the outskirts of heaven, where there's dirt roads for miles, hay in the fields and fish in the river, where there's dogwood trees and honeybees and blue skies and green grass forever. Lord, when I die, I want to live on the outskirts of heaven. Now, it says in the King James, in the Almighty's kingdom, he mentions a mansion that he's built just for me. Now, I'll gladly trade it for a farmhouse with acreage and a backyard that's shaded and a squeaky front porch swing. That's where I want to hang my wings. When I die, I want to live on the outskirts of heaven. What a stupid song. Does he really know what he's asking? And this guy's blaring it at the gas station. Does he know what he's asking for? I want to live outside of heaven, on the outskirts, outside the border. I don't really want to be near you, the Lord. I really don't want to be near you. I'll pass on the house you're building for me. I'll pass on being in that house. Let me have my land, my porch, my swing, all this, some country land, some roads. That just fits the American dream, doesn't it? He's so American. We should be learning by now what heaven is, and we should be learning from Exodus what the goal is of the Lord. He's coming to dwell with his people. That's a remarkable thing that he's doing. That's what Exodus is all about. What makes heaven desirable is him. And this is what's happening in Exodus. The beauty of it is, did you notice the ending of this, is that God is saying, I am going to dwell with you and I have chosen to be your God. Wow. The danger is we go through all this detail and we read all that stuff that I just read, important as it all is that we forget the intention of all of this. This holy God of Israel wants to dwell with his people. He wants to be with his people. And it's as if at the end of all this instruction, we're coming to the close of this section, at the end of all this instruction in verse 42, he reminds Israel what this is all about. Why is God doing all of this? Why did he bring him out of Egypt? Why are we gathering? Why are we doing all of this? What about all this instruction? Why does he give all this instruction? Did you notice the very end of this, how all of a sudden he was explaining the reason for this? In verse 42, what the Lord says, this shall be continually a burnt offering throughout your generations. Notice this in verse 42. A burnt offering throughout at the entrance of the tent of meeting before the Lord where, you can read right over this, I will meet with you. I'm going to meet with you. I'm going to speak to you there. There I will meet with the people of Israel, and this whole structure is going to be sanctified by my glory because where I am, that's what happens. That's why instructions were very important. I will consecrate the tent of meeting and the altar. Aaron also and his sons I will consecrate to serve me as priests. I will dwell among the people of Israel, and I've decided and chosen to be their God. They need to know this. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, who delivered them, who saved them. That's what this is all about. I'm coming here to be with them so they would know me, enjoy me, worship me, and know that I'm their God. Well, this is getting to some real purpose in Exodus, isn't it? What an amazing section to open up with tonight. Are you moved by that? And if the Christian ministry is so much more glorious, as the New Testament says, then we have made a real strong case that you're in the most holy place tonight. That God is with you right now. That God is meeting with you. That he's speaking to you. That he's doing something for you. Well, let me tonight go through some of this so that we see that ultimate goal that is here, that it was God's intention to come and to dwell with his people, that he to save them to be a worshiping people, that they would enjoy him and there would be that communion and fellowship. This means that the entire priesthood tonight was designed and set up to teach them this, to make this possible. He wanted them to be a part of this. God is constructing this tabernacle in the wilderness, and he's setting up priests that were ministering on behalf of the people and serving and coming to the Lord and bringing the offerings. And all of this stuff that's described here was describing the nearness of God and the ministry that they were involved with, making and declaring the Lord was with them. What a scene. In certain ways, chapter 29, the first thing he does is make this presence possible by setting up this priestly ministry, and that's why we spent some time reading this particular section tonight on all the detail for the priests. It's not mindless detail. It's not unimportant. There was a 7-day ordination process for the priests. And that's where we pick up tonight, really, with, we looked at some sacrifices last time. We're in the third sacrifice tonight. You'll notice here the second ram. It's called the ram of ordination. It was called a wave offering, you'll notice here, and what he focuses on, an offering which were to involve God's people in this and had been set up. Giving to the Lord had the specific function of being apart and understanding what the Lord had set apart to minister his presence and minister his gospel ministry to them. In verse 22, we see some of these details, that they were commanded to take the fat of the ram and the fat tail and the fat that covers the entrails and the fatty lobe and the kidneys and the fat on them and the right thigh. And you'll notice one loaf of bread, one cake with oil, one wafer from the basket of unleavened bread. All of that was to be put in Aaron's hands. So they would take all these things, they would put it in Aaron's hands, and there would be this wave offering where they would offer this to the Lord. And the meaning in verse 25 is, you shall receive back from their hands and burn them on the altar as a burnt offering, as a sweet aroma before the Lord. It's an offering made by fire. Now, this particular offering, you'll notice here, the ram of ordination, the ram of filling, is meant that the things were placed in their hands to be offered, and the priests would give back to the Lord. Not that the Lord needed this. The first thing God wanted to happen, what he wanted to instruct the people in, was that the best, the fattest, the juiciest parts of the ram were to be offered to him. Why? Well, you'll notice in verse 26 that Moses himself then was to be given a portion of the offering, the best of the ram, and from that, verse 27, the breast of the wave offering was to be taken as an offering, and it was to then be for Aaron and his sons. Notice verse 28. It shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. It's a heave offering from the children of Israel, from the sacrifices of their peace offerings. It's this heave offering to the Lord. Now, this is all important. What is God teaching us here? Why all this emphasis on offering right at the beginning here in this ordination process? Notice the priests were waving the offerings of the people back to the Lord. The giving, first and foremost, as giving always has been in the scriptures, giving was intended to be a way for God's people to say thank you. It was always intended that way. For all that they had been given, the Lord knew there was that desire. Remember in the prayer tonight, I'm praying and I'm agonizing over this continuous struggle that we have with regard to sin. And we feel like we never ever really show this God that we're very thankful. This was one way you can do it. This is one way that God taught Israel to do it. It would be a sign of their faith and their trust in him, but they would give back to the Lord, they would give to him, and that would be a demonstration of their gratitude for all that he had blessed them with. He gave them that opportunity. He gave them that avenue to say thank you. Giving today gets a bad rap. there have been too many TV preachers who've asked for stuff, right? There's been too much funny business with the whole thing. But we have to remember that it was not viewed that way in the Old Testament. Giving was always viewed as a part of being able to say, Lord, we're so grateful for all that you've blessed us with. It's just fascinating that as you go on, when the people are building the tabernacle and all this construction of the tabernacle goes on, remember what happened later on with the contributions for the tabernacle? They made so many contributions for the tabernacle. Moses, we'll see this and we'll come to this, had to say, stop giving. It's enough. It's really beautiful. It wasn't a bondage. There was this moment of a real sense of God's presence, that God was among them, and that there was a sweet communion, and that they were giving in gratitude for what God was setting up. What was he setting up? A place for him to dwell among them. It's a beautiful thing when you think about the whole thing, the whole picture that's going on here. God was given the very best parts as an act of gratitude, understanding that God himself had promised to give him to them. He had forgiven their sins. Think of the priests here, walking up there, bearing on their shoulders their names, and close to their heart, on those stones, their names of the children of Israel, bearing them up to the Lord, showing that there was a ministry of bringing his people into his presence. Notice he's commanding here a wave offering. What did God do with it? God would then take the gifts of the people. This is remarkable. He would then take the gifts of the people and give it to the priests. You'll notice that there, to the priests who were set apart to serve them. So it says, it shall be from the children of Israel for Aaron and his sons by a statute forever. So in other words, God received the gifts, the generous portions, and he gave back to the priests. Why? Because he had set them apart to give their lives specifically to set apart to minister all these blessings back to them. This is so wonderful. This generous share would go right back to the priests so that they could devote their lives to serve them and represent them in his presence. It taught them how God provides for them, and that the priests had to live dependent on the offerings of the people. We live dependent on the generosity of God, don't we? The whole system is displaying something. As the priests were set apart and didn't work, and the people provided, it demonstrated, didn't it? They had to live dependent on the offerings, just as the people lived dependent on the Lord's provisions. It was a visual of how God provides constantly. Constantly. Salvation is a free gift to us. You didn't earn that. When God brought you out of Egypt, if so to speak, what I mean is brought you out of your sins and the dominion and out of the world and opened up your eyes and saved you, he set apart people to minister to you, didn't he? We just think this is automatic. We think this is a right. You didn't set this up. I didn't set this up. I can say honestly, I didn't even really choose it. I don't know that I would be doing this. I did choose it because the Lord put that burden in my heart. The Lord put that desire in my heart. But it was his calling. And so think about the beauty of salvation, that he sets apart people and a ministry that are intended to ultimately bless you. Think about the ministry of the gospel to you. Think about all that happens in this ministry of what goes on. Elders who pray for you. Everyone is somewhat scared of elders. We're trying to break down that fear among our young people. They're not men out to get you. When you come to profess your faith, trust me, this is the greatest day for us. These men are set apart to love you, to pray for you, to care for you, to lead you in God's word, to help you when you're struggling. I would love it if our young people could say, I so see God's blessing to me in these men that I'm going to call my elder and just talk to him when I'm struggling. Wouldn't that be awesome? We have that kind of relationship. Or when we looked at the diaconate and said, I know when I have a need, they're not there to judge me. It's not a ministry of scrutiny. It's a ministry of mercy to help me with needs in this life. All set up to be a blessing, isn't it? It's all set up to be a blessing. Or when you look at your pastor, who sometimes has to speak the truth, always speak the truth, but has to speak the truth in ways that are confrontive and that press you, you say, that man really loves me. Because his ultimate goal is my salvation, not to get me. That's beautiful. That's beautiful. Our giving into that reflects something. See? Our giving reflects something. It reflects how thankful we are for all his blessing to us, for all his salvation to us. Remember, Paul was talking about giving, and he said this principle in the New Testament. It comes right out of this. In the same way, the Lord commanded that those who proclaim the gospel should get their living by the gospel. And he would talk about this in the New Testament, about how we are supported and how we are provided for. This all demonstrated something that was put in place that meant the Lord was near. The Lord was with us. The Lord is caring for us. The Lord is shepherding us. It's not me, ultimately, who's doing the shepherding. I'm an ambassador and a representative of the true shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's your shepherd.
Oh, much comfort and encouragement, along with insight, gleaned out of our time together tonight here in the book of Exodus, focusing in specifically on chapter 29, a message called The Dwelling of God. Pastor Chris will be back in just a moment here on today's broadcast of Abounding Grace Radio. We thank you for spending time with us today. It is always our hope and our earnest prayer that our time together encourages you in your walk and relationship with Christ. Now, to that end, we have a variety of ways that you can reach out to us, along with a variety of tools that you can use throughout the week to further encourage your walk and relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Reach out to us on our website, agradio.org. That's agradio.org. Or if you prefer, give us a call, 888-504-8805. Now, Abounding Grace Radio can be found on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. You can even visit our website for links to these platforms that you like to follow. Again, agradio.org. You'll also find Pastor Chris's blog there. We do have downloads of previous messages that you've heard here on the program. And if you're interested in redirecting some of your financial resources to Abounding Grace Radio, AG Radio is listener-supported. You, along with others, have seen the value of this program and how it speaks into your life spiritually. So if you're someone who sees the value of this program for your growth in Christ, get in touch with us. No gift is too small or too large, either a one-time gift or reoccurring. It all sustains this program right here on this station. You can donate online at agradio.org or call 888-504-8805, or lick a stamp and send a check through the mail. Abounding Grace Radio, P.O. Box 732, Linden, Washington. The zip code is 98264. And by the way, if you've got a question for Pastor Chris, he'd love to hear it. Simply fire up your voice memo app on your smartphone, record your question, and then email it to us, questions@agradio.org. It's that simple. If we play your question on the air, we'll let you know when and send you an email back. As promised now, once again, here's Pastor Chris to look forward to our next broadcast.
You have a high priest who constantly ministers, who prays for you, who intercedes and mediates for you, whose one sacrifice on the cross has covered you forever. Do you ever think that when you eat the bread and drink, it's the very encouragement that God himself is with you, feeding you, feeding your souls. Christ has invited us to his table, promises that he's made atonement for our sins, that he is our altar, and that his garments are given to make us all kings and priests to our God.
Abounding Grace is brought to you on this radio station by Abounding Grace Radio Ministries.
Hi, this is Chris Gordon, pastor of the Escondido United Reformed Church. I'd like to invite you to our Sunday worship services at 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. on Sunday. We have two worship services, 9:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. We preach Christ and Him crucified with the goal that you would live in the joy of this comfort in the knowledge of the forgiveness of all of your sins. 1864 North Broadway is the address here in Escondido. We'd love to see you this Sunday.